Psalm 119, verses 105 through 112. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word, accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end.
So when I love seeing a really good performer, somebody who knows their craft, and it's also really interesting to watch the audience responding to a performer who knows their craft, and it really doesn't matter. You know, it can be Blondie, or it can be the Rolling Stones, or it can be any number of performers who people listen to so much that they know the words to their songs by heart. The words are memorized, and you'll understand why I'm talking about this in a little while, but words listened to so much and so often that the words just trip off their tongue. One of the things that it's just a favorite of mine, I love watching, is this video clip of Bono singing at an amphitheater the words to Psalm 40. To me, that is mind-blowing. So watch this little clip. So what'd you hear in the background? Huh? Audience cheering and singing. Ancients that wrote the Psalms didn't have video or audio or printed materials. So they had to commit to memory the things that they wanted to remember. I think this video is a good example of what happens when people commit things to memory. They didn't have to have a sheet of music in front of their face. They didn't have to have a book. They knew it. And they sang it. It flowed out of them. And what's interesting to me is that whole audience that was singing this song did not know what possible changes they unleashed in themselves as they memorized those things and made them part of their life. So we use, this is called mnemonics is the name for it, the technical name. And you use mnemonics all the time. I'll give you some examples. If you're a musician, you know that every good boy does fine, E, G, B, D, F, are the keys of the treble clef. You know that. Every good boy does fine is a mnemonic. It helps you remember those keys. Or 30 days has September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31 except for February, my dear son. It's a mnemonic. It helps you remember. I use that one all the time when I'm trying to figure out how many days a month has. Our text today comes from a mnemonic. So if you have your Bible with you, open it up, and you will notice that Psalm 119 is divided into paragraphs. And so the first paragraph is Aleph. So let's see that. So Aleph is the first one. Beit, B-E-T-H, is the second one. Aleph, Beit, Gimel is the next. Daleth, Hey, Wow, Zion, Nun, N-U-N. This is noon in the Hebrew. This is what that section that Heather read to us looks like in Hebrew. And you will notice they read from right to left, and you'll notice each one of these lines has that little character right there, all the way down, every one of them. Every verse begins with that character. That's noon. And they did that for memory. Oh, I've just recited the Aleph section. Now I'm going to do the Beit section, and I remember that every line in Beit starts with a Beit. Makes it easy to remember. There are other texts that are used as memory devices. Rich, that was my last one. If you want to go sit by Janelle, feel free to do that. The fruit of the Spirit is a mnemonic. The works of the flesh, which is also part of that. The Beatitudes, it's a mnemonic. It's this neat collection of ideas that people could package and make portable by remembering it, by memorizing it. Your word is a lamp to my feet, wrote the psalmist. Your word is a lamp to my feet. What on earth did he mean by that? What he meant was, I carry your word around with me, and it lights the way for me. It helps me to know how to live. He wasn't talking about a bound document. They didn't exist then. The Bible didn't exist in that form then. Can you imagine what that was like? Can you imagine what that did to community? I loved it when we sang that one verse a cappella. Didn't that lift you up? Knowing that everybody sitting here in this room shared the words and meaning of this text. You all knew it. Portable. It's not surprising to see this emphasis on inwardness in the Bible. It's not surprising at all. Some people memorize the words to movies. I've never been able to do that. I forget movies. The minute I quit watching it, it's gone. Bev says, you know, we've already seen that movie. Really? I don't remember that movie. But other people memorize the lines and quote them and requote them, or lyrics to popular music, or scripts from your favorite TV show. I happen to like Seinfeld, and I don't memorize the lyrics, but I'll say, hey, did you remember that episode in Seinfeld when? Or maybe you like the Big Bang Theory, and there's something that Sheldon says that you remember, or your favorite TV show guru. Maybe it's Dr. Oz, or it's Oprah, or Dr. Phil, or whoever. Or a hot new DIY do-it-yourself book that you bought at Barnes & Noble. Whether we want to admit it or not, there's something that we all memorize, that we all collect because it's important to us for one reason or another. And those things that we collect are the things that influence us. Which is one of the reasons that it worries me when I see young people who dwell on a lot of the lyrics. I won't say all, but a lot of the lyrics of hip-hop and rap. It's trash. It's a pollutant. It's toxic. There's hatred of women and There's all kinds of things, and the worst examples of it. I'm not saying all, but I'm saying that that stuff sets up residence in our lives, and it becomes part of who we are. So the psalmist talks about inwardness. Well, if David wrote this, which is what the theory is about who wrote Psalm 119, we know that life wasn't easy for him. David made a lot of mistakes, and he was very honest about it. 2 Samuel is another place that's full of his troubles, the troubles in his life. It's more of a historical reverie about David's life, but David says this in Psalm 51, I recognize my rebellion. God, I know, I screw up, I know. It haunts me, he says, day and night. I wake up in the morning thinking about it. I go to bed thinking about it. He says, give back my joy to me. Give back my joy to me. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. It's a lot like what Amanda was talking about this morning. We know when we hit those moments. It's because our joy leaves. Chapter 22, he said, and this is the passage that Jesus quotes. The psalmist says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Ever felt that way? Ever felt like God wasn't there? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? I like the little quote, if God isn't as near as he used to be, who moved? Don't you love that? Yeah, who moved? What's interesting about humans is their resistance to healthy teaching. I'm talking about human beings in general. It's a flaw we have. We reject it. We say we know better. Oh, I know better. I'm smarter than God. I know how to do this. We hang on to it even though it leads us only to pain and suffering. And so we say, you have to hit rock bottom before you start changing, right? Don't you hear that a lot? Has it ever occurred to you how stupid that is? What's wrong with us? The only way that I'm going to learn is for somebody just to whack me in the head with a 2x4. Then I'll learn. Well, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? I love the song, Lead Kindly Light. I just think it's one of the greatest hymns in our book. It's just this wonderful song. It has three verses. The second verse, I'll quote you the first one a little bit later, but right now the second verse says, I was not ever thus. In the first verse, he's saying, I want you to lead me on. I want your direction in my life. But the second verse says, I haven't been this way all the time. I was not ever thus, nor prayed that thou shouldst lead me on. I didn't used to be that way. I didn't used to pray for your help. I just was kind of going my own way and doing my own thing and saying, I know better. He says in the second line in that verse, I loved to choose my path, to choose and see my path. No faith in a life lived that way. I want to see it. But now, lead me on. I give up. Third line, I loved the garish day. Garish means excessively bright or lurid. It's neon. It's all the things that you would expect in the big city. I love the garish day. And spite of fears, even though it scared me to death, pride ruled my will. Pride ruled my will. He says to himself, remember not past years. I don't want to do that anymore. I was not ever thus, nor prayed that thou shouldst lead me on. I loved to choose my path, choose and see my path. But now, lead me on. I love the garish day. I love the glitter and bright lights and all of that. Even though it scared me to death, pride ruled my will. Remember not past years. I have suffered much, David says to the Lord. I have suffered much. You can hear it in the song that I just read you. You can hear the pathos. You can hear the pain and an implied request for rescue. Please deliver me from this. Psalms, the first psalm, the whole book, the whole collection of psalms, opens with a verse about the choices that we have. And the psalmist begins by saying, oh, the joys of those who follow the advice, who do not follow the advice of the wicked. Oh, the joys of those who don't listen to the wicked. These that don't listen to that advice, are like trees planted by streams of water. So their roots go down deep and they have plenty of nourishment, lots of water. They grow and they're lush and beautiful. That's the way the righteous are. He says, not the wicked. He said, the wicked are like chaff that the wind drives away or scatters. Now, chaff is that little hull that goes around the germ of wheat. So if you buy a bottle of Kretschmer's wheat germ, you're getting unground wheat. It's kind of cut up or pulverized a little, not really pulverized, but made in smaller pieces. But that wheat germ is nutty and good. And when it's ground into flour, it makes wonderful bread. The chaff is the thing that's around it, and you don't want the chaff. Chaff is tasteless, and it gets in your teeth, and it's just not good. And so the way that they process wheat is in the ancient times is they threw the wheat up in the air, and the chaff would blow off of it. And it would blow away, and the regular wheat, the germ would fall straight back down. So that's how they processed it. And he says, the wicked are like chaff. The wicked have no substance to them. The wicked, really, by their life and the choices they make, are just worthless, like chaff. This section, noon, is an answer to the question, who are we going to listen to? Are we going to be like chaff that stand, walk, and sit with the wicked? Are we going to be like that? Are we going to be people like the song that loved to see our path, that wanted to go it alone, that didn't want any advice? Who are we going to listen to? Is it going to be Fox News or NPR or worldly friends? Who are we going to trust? Who are we going to trust? You know what? That's one of the things that breaks my heart right now, is one of the things that's being lost in our present political debate is trust. Who are you going to trust? And I think it largely comes down to a matter of wisdom. To be able to know, this is somebody that tells the truth, and I trust them. Who are you going to trust? And it's really the question being answered in this psalm. Who are you going to trust with your life? Is it going to be yourself? Is it going to be your own worldly way of doing things? Or is it going to be God? Who are you going to trust? The psalmist says that in spite of the traps, he will not turn away from God's commandments. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to keep my eyes to the ground, and I'm going to keep marching in the way that you've told me to. What is really being described here is wisdom, isn't it? It's wisdom. Well, back to the first verse of Lead Kindly Light. It expresses the same kind of confusion that the psalmist describes in Noon. Suffering, need of restoration, hanging in the balance, and traps that have been set for us. It says, lead kindly light amid the encircling gloom. Really, it's pretty gloomy out there, isn't it? Lead thou me on. The night is dark, and I am far from home. Lead thou me on. Keep thou my feet. I do not ask to see the distant scene. One step is enough for me. You know, in the second verse he says, I wasn't always this way. I didn't always pray for your help. In fact, I loved to be able to see where I was going. I wanted to see the path, and I wanted to know. None of this faith stuff for me. Imagine what would have happened to Abraham if he had taken that approach when God comes to him and says, pack the U-Haul, Abraham. Taking you on a trip. Where are we going? Trust me. Noon is an admission that we don't have enough light to be able to find our own way. That's what it is. Though we try to find light in the things we read, the things that we watch. Heard once about a man that decided that he was going to make a book that understood him, and he was going to make this book out of selected quotes and passages that he'd gleaned from other people. And so he begins collecting these things and creating this book that understands him. And when he finished the process some years later, he went back and he read his book, and he realized that it really didn't understand him. You see, that's the problem. You can see the opposite of this spirit in the work of the children of Israel. That is the opposite of the spirit of wisdom. When they create a golden calf to lead them through the wilderness and through their fear. Really? What were you thinking, we want to say. Or when Israel requested a king to lead them. And they're warned, don't you know what you're asking for? He's going to draft your kids, and he's going to hire you and use you as servant labor in his kingdom. And he's going to take your land, or at least the crops from your land. Do you realize what you're doing? And the incorporation later in their life as a nation of other gods that they thought were going to give them direction. Oh, let's worship Baal, and we'll have good corn crops and lots of children, and not so much. But the psalmist says, your word is a lamp. The psalmist says, teach me your laws and I will obey your instructions. I think the psalmist might today say, I want to be like the audience at a U2 concert that knows the word so well that they just trip off their tongue. That's what I want to be. Noon is a map. It promises direction to anyone who wants to have guidance and wisdom. That's its promise. But it also assumes a submission on the part of the person seeking that wisdom. It requires submission. It's a refusal to quit stumbling along in the darkness and calling it light. At some point, I have to say, I give up. I'm going to start listening. I went once when I was in college. I had this great dream that I was going to go to Minnesota and work with a church up there during my summer months. And I had talked to pastors and, you know, had really done some legwork on that. But at the end of the school year, it wasn't going to happen. So my dad got me a job in offshore oil. And so I was about to go home to work offshore oil. I would have made buckets of money. And I got a call. Hey, Bruce, we want you to come to Minnesota. And so I went that summer, and it was a disaster. The family I stayed with was having problems, and I witnessed arguments between the husband and wife. And later, my dad and I were talking about it. I said, hey, Dad, you knew those people. You knew that family. You knew them. Why didn't you warn me? Dad said, you wouldn't have listened. I wonder if God ever feels that way with us. You wouldn't have listened. We began the sermon talking about mnemonics, devices which help us remember. And so today I want to leave you with this question. Where would you say your primary direction comes from? Who are you listening to? What are you reading? Are you spending time in God's Word? If you're not, I would warn you. This is not a good thing. Because there's other things going in as well. Let's pray. Dear Father, please give us direction. Better still, help us to recognize the direction you give and depend on it. May we not be like so many blind in the world who do not know they are blind, making one mistake after another while remaining in darkness. Give us your light. Give us your wisdom. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.